Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Listen In with KNN. Yes, sports fans, we are glad to be back with you as this show is presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Back as always with me in the driver's seat next to me is my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, how are you today?
Hey, what's up, Kelsey? How you doing?
I am fabulous, Ray. I'm excited. We are beginning April with a bang because we have a very special guest. On today's show, we will be welcoming in Clarissa T-Rex Shields. Yes, boxing fan, that is a name that should be ringing bells to you. As she is a current unified professional boxing champion in two different weight classes. So, yeah, this woman knows what she's doing in and outside of the ring. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media using hashtag ListenInWithKNN. As always, I will now take it over to my co-host Ray Jones to hopefully give us a funny joke and, of course, as always, our sports history for the week.
All right, Kelsey. Actually, before we get into the sports history, you had so much energy. I wanted to kind of tell you about my weekend. My aunt came down, or my whole family came down. We had a, you know, a little kickback barbecue, whatever you want to call it, and she made her world famous, we call it the infamous fruit punch. And she has Southern roots, and I know you have Southern roots as well, so I wanted to ask you, how do you make your fruit punch?
With lots of sugar, right? I mean, it's really just sugar water.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to make it. Yours is a little different than mine. You know how I make it?
I'm scared, but go ahead and tell me, Ray.
Simple. I usually just
know something. A storm is coming. So go ahead and hit me with it.
I usually just give it boxing lessons. Get it? My fruit punch. I give it lessons.
Oh my gosh, we're gonna lose our guest for today. It was that bad, Ray.
Well, I figured I had to give us a boxing joke since we are having a pretty dedicated episode. So I thought that was a pretty good. But anyway,
the views and opinions of Ray Jones do not represent listening with no display.
I'm gonna keep it with the the boxing theme for this week in sports history. I chose April 8th, 1941. The late great Joe Louis, he TKO'd Tony Musta in the ninth round of their heavyweight championship bout. This victory here improved Joe Louis's remarkable record to 48-1. Can you imagine being 48-1 at something? Joe Louis is definitely one of the greatest boxers of all time. So I felt like I had to dedicate my moment in sports history to him, especially with the episode that we got coming up.
Yes, I like that you kept the boxing theme. I'm sad I had to change things around, but rest in peace to the great champ, Joe Louis. And if anybody is out in D.C., make sure you go to the National Museum of African American History and see his exhibit. It's truly awesome and great. But, of course, I have to give love to hockey fans because here in Washington, we're happy that our Washington Capitals are back in the Stanley Cup kind of conversation as we look towards the playoffs. But anyways, I'm going back to April 8th, 1943 in the Stanley Cup final going to Boston Garden in Boston, Massachusetts, when the Detroit Red Wings beat the Boston Bruins 2-0 for a 4-0 series sweep and their third SC championship. So I had to give the hockey world some love, Ray, but pretty exciting. But as always, that wraps up this week in sports history, and we will be right back with our very special, highly anticipated guest right after this quick commercial break.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports style of the district and beyond, where I am now joined in studio by the one and only Miss Clarissa T-Rex Shields, a two-time Olympic gold medalist. Clarissa, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's always great to be joined by a champion in studio. So very glad to have you. How's everything been? I know you've been busy preparing for the big fight coming up, but I mean, how are you?
You know what? I am in a great place mentally, physically, you know, fit, of course, for the fight. I feel great. I'm just ready for the fight to get here. And I can see sometime and then sometime I'm not antsy, but I'm perfectly fine.
Yeah, we are. I can hear it in your voice. You are ready for this. And believe me, a lot of us will be watching. We're all behind you. And let's get into it. We're already talking about it. So, of course, Clarissa, you're defending your titles against Christina Hammer at the Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City, New Jersey, in your much-awaited showdown on April 13th. So first off, let me get your thoughts on your opponent and, of course, your training and mindset leading up to this much-anticipated encounter.
Well, my thoughts on my opponent is, you know, she's a decent fighter. She's been a reigning world champion for about 9 years now. She's 24-0, 11 knockouts and stuff like that. But I just believe that, you know, from what I've seen, she's never fought against a talented fighter like myself. I've traveled the world 4 times and won 2 world championships and won two Olympic gold medals. And I've been all over the world boxing. I lost 1 time, you know, and I went 77 wins with 1 loss. And I think that this fight, you know, she's overlooking me. You know, she's, you know, talking a lot of trash and, you know, saying like I'm not good enough to beat her and it's going to be walking the park and she's going to toy with me and she's going to beat me. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it, especially versus the caliber fighters that she's fought. And just this training camp, this has been my hardest training camp in my life. And I've been in 2 Olympics, wow. And I say that because I have not been in my comfort zone any of this camp. I mean, as far as in all the running that I've done, the sprints, the strength conditioning work. I mean, I really pushed myself and tested my limits. And I did all this at high altitude in the mountains in Colorado Springs. And if you can run 30 minutes in Colorado Springs, you can do anything. And I mean, just to get on a treadmill and run for 30 minutes, I mean, even jog 30 minutes, you can do anything. I got in the ring and I sparred 11 rounds in Colorado Springs, and that was just to check my win and see where I was at for the fight. In 3 weeks in the fight, I was able to spar 11 rounds with 3 different sparring partners. So I'm in great shape. I'm very well prepared for this fight.
Yes, I can tell. And Clarissa, just hearing you talk reminds me why I am not a professional athlete right now, because I could not do anything that you say you're doing. This is exactly why I cover you guys, honestly, and come in. And I mean, it just, it shows you the preparation that goes into it. I think sometimes when we're watching, we don't realize all that goes into it. But watching you, I feel like I see everything that you bring to the ring. And that being said, I mean, let's just talk about your fighting career. So back in December of 2018, you, of course, defeated the German Femke Hermans via unanimous decision inside the StubHub Center in Carson, California. So that being said, I mean, how much confidence did this victory provide for you as you head into the fight against Christina Hammer, especially after being undefeated your last 8 professional fights?
Well, you know, me and Christina Hammer was supposed to fight November 17th, and because of her illness, we had to push the fight back till now, till April. But in between time, I was able to get in 20 rounds in between 2 different fighters. So I went 10 rounds with Femke Hermans, and I went 10 rounds with Hannah Rankin. Hannah Rankin is one of Christina Hammer's top sparring partners, and just the fact that she came over here, I felt like me boxing against her gave me an insight on how she spars against Christina Hammer. And I'm quite sure that Christina Hammer may have trouble with her, and that's why she consistently brings her back to the camp. But I just felt that I was able to beat Hannah Rankin really made Christina Hammer think. And, I mean, it made Christina Hammer think so much that she even decided to go and get a sparring partner from the USA named Shadesha Green, who's one of my friends, And yeah. she think she wanted to see if Shadesha could give her information about me or see if she could imitate me, which I'm quite sure Shadesha went over there and cannot imitate me. And
none of us can for her.
Yes, she switched up so many things in her camp that showed me that she was worried, because all her other camps, she had the same mm-hmm. sparring partners and sparring the same people. But for me, she goes and try to get a girl from the USA who she thinks box like me, who she thinks is very close to me and who knows me, when that wasn't the case. What I've learned in those 20 rounds of boxing, it has really been beneficial to me. I learned that I can push my pace, that I can go, that I can throw more punches, that I am in great shape. And I learned that I do have knockout power, that all it takes is, patience and precision. And I've been getting mm-hmm. closer to the knockout. I've been actually getting closer. So what I've learned these last two fights is really going to help me in the fight against Christine the Hammer. When they talk about, the experience and everything, this 20 rounds of experience is definitely going to play in my favor.
For sure. And I think experience will always triumph over anything else. That being said, when I was back at the Super Bowl this year, covering, of course, the big game, we also talked to Showtime, and we talked about boxing. And I particularly wanted to talk to Showtime about the current state of women's boxing. And so that being said, you being an athlete in the sport, I want to know your thoughts on where you see it headed in the future, and kind of what do you think the current state of women's boxing is now?
Well, I can say that Showtime has done a great job with promoting this fight. We've had two all-access episodes on Showtime, and usually the all access is for pay-per-view fights, but this isn't a pay-per-view mm-hmm. fight. They treated it as such and gave us, all access episodes, and just had our press conference 2 months before the fight, and had our face-to-face sit down, and just all mm-hmm. this media that we've been doing. This is kind of like what the men do when they're getting ready for a fight. So they're giving us equal promotion, and then we're also fighting the main event on a Saturday night.
Right.
I feel this may be the first time that this has happened for a woman fight on Showtime. And
mm-hmm.
this is just breaking the barrier. So I feel like women's boxing has come a long way within the last 2 years that I've been professional, in that the only thing that we're missing right now is the equal pay. Everything else is on the line. I think this fight here will get us over that hump that we haven't been able to get over. Because we're on TV, equal promotion and everything like mm-hmm. that. But now it's time for the numbers to show. I believe that this fight with me and Christina Hammer will do millions of views. And then once they do millions of views, they will see that women's boxing do sell. We do have an audience. People do want to see women's boxing, and that we can, just sell. And the biggest thing is views. Showtime
right.
makes money off of the views. So the more views we can get, the more money that they'll be able to pay us after this. So we just have to prove that we have an audience. And I think that's going to happen April 13th.
Well said. And you kind of went into my next question. I was going to ask you, when do you think that'll happen? But it sounds like you think this fight will be so big that hopefully that pay wage gap will be closed soon, as you said, that you feel that the views will come in. And I think the viewers now will come in. It's been highly talked about. And as you said, I agree with you. I think the promo has been fantastic. And that's not something I could say for a lot of previous women's boxing bouts. So Showtime has been magnificent in that aspect. And that being said, let's spend your boxing career. And so, of course, we all want to know about your great gold medal winning memories and the cultural experiences during London 2012 and Rio 2018 Olympics. So kind of just talk about that process and how you got to that point, and just kind of explain, what did it mean to win that gold and bring it back home here to the USA?
Yeah, so I went to the Olympics when I was 17. My first Olympics was in London, England. And I was the youngest person on the team. And everybody, treated me like a little sister. And they still do. And they're very protective of me. All my Olympic brothers and my sisters are very protective of me.
Mm-hmm.
And at age 17, I can tell you, they literally held my hand as I went to the bathroom. Like, they would walk me to the bathroom.
They
had to walk me to the restaurant. Like, nobody would let me leave their site in the airport. And I just was like, I can't wait to go home. 20
yeah.
Like, were all over me, like, you know, whenever I go somewhere, they were like, you know, you have to have somebody with you. You need a chaperone. You can't walk to the store by yourself. We're in another country. And they were, like, super strict on me. But it was fun. And, you know, of course, the only thing that I was really focused on was winning the Olympics. So I'm more of just mm-hmm. staying in my room. I didn't go to any other events. I mean, I saw the basketball players and got to know a few of them who were on a USA team, like Kevin Durant and Carmelo Anthony. Those are my friends. Like, they know me by first and last name basis. So,
wow.
Cool. So, you know, just with that, I was like, you know, London was cool, but Rio was the highlight of my life. You know, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, mm-hmm. where I won my second Olympic gold medal. I made history again. I'm the only American boxer that has two Olympic gold medals for boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And no other male has this feat. It's just me, you know, when it's back-to-back Olympic gold medals. And I feel like in Rio, I had, of course, now I'm 4 years older. I'm 21. You know, I went to other, I got to go to the track meet events. I got to go to watch some swimming. I went to other boxing matches. I got to travel around Rio. I went to the beach and saw the waves, which they're huge. And you know, I had did a lot more in Rio than I did in 20, and then than I did in 2012. But
mm-hmm.
my best memory was, of course, winning the Olympic gold medal in 2016. But also, me and Gary Russell got lost in a taxi, and the the taxi driver was trying to leave us where he thought we were going. And we were like, no, just take us back to the Olympic Center. And he tried to pull off.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we're, like, trying to use our, you know, Google Translator to talk to him. And then I'm not getting out the car, but wherever we pulled up in front of, they were trying to snatch Gary out the car and have Gary go inside this house. I'm like, Gary, don't go in there. So I got half my body in a car and half my body pulling Gary back into the car, trying to make this guy who's our taxi not leave us.
And this
it was so crazy, but we laughed so hard about it.
I'm sure.
Rio was a lot of fun.
I can tell. That's one of my biggest fears, like being left or lost in a country that I don't know. And like you said, especially if you can't speak the language, I can imagine how. But you guys got back safely, which is what matters. But Olympic memories, obviously not everyone gets to do it. So, and as you said, I mean, you were able to do that twice. We're not talking about male or female. We're talking about just as a human being and an Olympian. So it just talks about your greatness, honestly, in the sport. And that being said, of course, I know you talk a lot. I mean, everyone that knows you knows, of course, you are from Flint, Michigan. It's the seventh largest city in Michigan. And, of course, if you know about the city, they have notoriously experienced economic depression. Of course, we can all talk about the fall of the acclaimed Big Three in the auto industry, of course. And then there's violent crime. And it's like, and also, of course, now I think what Flint is most known for, unfortunately, of course, is the infamous water crisis, you know, which has just been so sad to watch and seeing that there's still not clean water in Flint, Michigan. So that being said, just talk about your life growing up in Flint, Michigan, and how does it kind of still have an impact on you today?
Well, growing up in Flint was tough. I can say that from the age 11, though, my life kind of got better because I found boxing.
Mm-hmm.
But before then, you know, I had to deal with my mom abusing alcohol and deal with my dad being in prison. But I had a pretty decent upbringing. And my grandmother, you know, did what my mom didn't do. She, you know, she basically raised me and taught me mm-hmm. Taught me how to be a young lady and, you know, how to talk and how to, you know, how to cope with my anger. And she was great at communication. And mm-hmm. That's what my grandmother, you know, instilled in me. But just growing up, though, I mean, you growing up in Flint, you have to be tough, not just physically, but mentally. And I say mentally mm-hmm. because, some fights are meant to be fought, especially
right.
growing up. But then there's some fights where you have to walk away from, and there's some fights that you can avoid. And I've learned how to, you know, when it's time to fight, and I learned when it's time to walk away and be the bigger person. And I definitely learned how to avoid a lot of situations. And I learned that just from my experiences growing up. And I stayed out of trouble. I never wanted to, you know, be the one to get into fights. But if the fights came to me, you know, I would handle business. You know? Don't get me wrong, but it just got to an age to where, you know, boxing was strictly my main focus. And I didn't get into any more street fights or anything like that after the age of 15. And from there, you know, boxing would be my main focus. I go to the gym and you know, I have my birthday parties at the gym. And, you know, I spend most of my time in the gym. And if I'm not at the gym, I'm at school. And if I'm not at school, I'm at home. Like, I was never able to get into all that stuff. But a lot of my friends who I grew up with got shot and killed.
Wow.
It was a lot of them. And, you know, that was hard to deal with because, you know, you grow up with somebody and, you know, you kind of get older and everybody start going their own way. And, you know, a lot of my, you know, friends turned into, you know, if they're not dead, they're in jail. And
wow.
The only friends that I really have is the friends I have from school. Like, they were who I was in the honors classes with. I was in honors class, so I was, like, a grade above all my peers. So I was in class who graduated early. And when we being in honors class, I was able to, you know, have some best friends there. And they're still my best friends till this day. Arshanae, Diana, Jasmine, my best friend Chris. Those are my best friends now. And we've been best friends since 10th grade. But other than that, any other friends I had outside of that class probably dead or in jail. And then I also have some friends who play basketball. Like, it's kind of scattered, but majority down the road. So, you know, it's so easy to make a left turn and flinch. And you got to be so strong-minded to stay on the right path, you know, because sometimes anger comes so fast at you. You know, it's like you can't avoid it. But in the Bible, it says if there is an entrance into trouble, it's always the back door. It's always the back door to get out. So I just carry that line with me and you know, and knowing that even though a situation may seem like it's bad, it's always a way out. And I just try to focus on the way out and just try not to get into no trouble. And that's how my life has been since, you know, the age of 11.
Wow. And I appreciate you opening up. Obviously, I know it wasn't easy, but it seems it shaped you to who you are now. And I can tell you still carry those experiences with you. And, you know, you're proud of where you're from. And again, I mean, I really hope this is just a personal note that, you know, we get Flint clean water. No American city, really nowhere in the world, you know, should still be living where they don't have clean water. So another thing, Clarissa, just on growing up and your background, you made a shocking revelation, and you talked about the traumatic experiences of sexual abuse. And that being said, I mean, to any woman out there, right, in this age of the Me Too movement and everything going on with the R. Kelly documentary, Surviving R. Kelly, I mean, what would you say to those women to positively move forward with their lives after being the victims of sexual abuse?
Well, I can't really speak on the R. Kelly situation because, you know, it's a TV series. But what I say to any woman who has dealt with sexual abuse, one, to not be ashamed of it, and two, don't let that be the excuse to why you fail. You know, I take pride in how far I've come in my career because I felt like, you know, growing up, that my abuser tried to break me. You know, anybody who can molest or rape a young child or a woman, they do that for power, and they want to have power over you, and they want to be the reason you say, oh, I didn't make it because of this person, or I turned to drugs because of this person, or because this person abused me, I abused others. And you can't let the abuser win. You know, you have to always be stronger than that, you know. And I think that when somebody tries to break you, you just hurt them more when they see how they didn't. See how you still became successful, how you still, you know, love even though they wanted to make you hate. You know, and I think that a lot of people who go through sexual abuse feel like it was their fault. It's not your fault that somebody attacked you or somebody abused you. It's not your fault. And I just tell people to look forward. You know, whatever happened in the past, you know, I'm sad to say, but it happened. It's over with now. But you can't let the past dictate your future. You right. dictate your future, not your abuser or anybody. You dictate your future. And that's what I've been doing from a young age. For a long time, I didn't speak about me being abused and me being raped or molested because I just felt like it made people look at me different, you know, and I felt like, you know, people look at you like, oh, just another one of those girls who are trying to say that somebody raped her, you know, and it was like, no, it's true, it happened. The only reason that I speak about it is because I know that there are other women that who have been through that, no matter if it was when they're grown or why they were a child, and you have to talk about it. You have to get it off your chest. You can't keep it a secret your whole life, you know, and it'll really damage you if you do, and it'll bother you. You have to get it out, and, you know, always just talk to somebody. And I didn't want to tell anybody, not even my former boxing coach. And when I did tell him, that's when I felt like he understood me more. He understood why I was so quiet. And, you know, he understood why, like, sometimes if we were on a road trip driving somewhere and I would fall asleep and somebody would try to wake me up, he understood why when I woke up I would jump and I would be on the defensive because I was just what I had been through when I was a kid. And then he understood where some of my anger came from. So it'll really help people understand you. You tell them what you've been through. And not that you're playing the victim, but you just have to get it off your chest. And once you get off your chest, you'll feel a lot better.
Right. And like I said, I know it wasn't easy. But like you said, I mean, you've got it out now. And it's something you can speak about. And I really hope any woman out there, they're dealing with something, that they hear your story and that it's inspirational. Like you said, it's about moving forward. And so we're talking about moving forward. Let's talk about you moving forward. So elsewhere, I mean, can you talk about your positive work as an ambassador for Up to Us Sports?
As an ambassador for Up to Us Sports, I just trying to get more girls involved in sports. That's why, because sports do help you deal with, it's a coping method for a lot of things, anger, sadness, depression. It's a coping method for all the sports. And then just showing that a coach can change athletes' life. You know, everybody isn't blessed to have a great mom and dad and grow up in a two-parent house. You know, everybody doesn't have that privilege. There are some of us who have one parent who have to go to work and we barely see them. Some of us have, you know, a mom who probably just cooked for us and then she has to go to work, or, you know, just have parents who abuse drugs or alcohol, and then you go to school and then you have sports. And really all coaches are like parents. They feel something that live with us forever. I feel like my first boxing coach, Jason, was like my second dad. You know, he taught me something my dad didn't teach me. You know, I've had conversations with him that I haven't had with my dad. And I spent a lot of time with him in the gym, on road trips, out to eat. You know, I spent so much time with him. He was a father figure to me. And I was able to talk to him about it. And, you know, he really was, even though he was there at my hardest moments, at my highest moments, at my lowest moments, it was the fact that he was there. And even when my family wasn't there, he was there. So he instilled a lot in me and pushed me harder than anybody else. And that's what people need. Just somebody to be there with them when they're at the highest or their lowest. Or, you know, life isn't going great. Just to have somebody there to constantly motivate them and encourage them, you know, to keep going, stay strong, because sometimes our parents can't do it. And that's why I joined the Up to Us program. So they could, because they train coaches to be better for all kind of kids, and they go through all these courses and everything, and then they become coaches up in areas that need coaches and try to get more girls and boys in the sports. And I think the Up to Us is a great program.
Wonderful. And we're so glad that you do that great work. And I love that you're trying to get more females into sports. And just going back to boxing real quick, Carissa. Last year, at age 24, you were inducted into the USA Boxing Alumni Association's Hall of Fame. Just want to ask you, of course, just how humbling was this experience at this point in your career?
It was so humbling, and then I was so disappointed that I couldn't make it to the ceremony because I fought the same day. It was but I was honored, you know, and I always, you know, have you ever heard the saying, give me my flowers while I'm here and not when I'm gone?
Yes.
I felt like that's what they did. They gave me my acknowledgement while I'm here on earth and didn't wait till I was, you know, passed away, you know, and dead 10 years to want to give me acknowledgement. You know, I'm glad that they, you know, was like, look, she's breaking barriers now and she's the head of women's boxing and she's doing so great. We want to acknowledge her. And I hope one day that, you know, Flint, Michigan names a street after me while I'm alive. Yes. And I hope that they make a statue of me while I'm alive. I hope that they...
Yeah, so you can see it and experience it.
So I can see it and be able to just live in the moment and know that, you know, I'm doing all this stuff at such a young age and pushing myself to do all these great things because I want to see it, you know, and I want to be appreciated while I'm here, even though I know I'll be appreciated, you know, once everything is over.
That being said, Clarissa, just real quick, what do you want your legacy to be at the end of the day when you hang up the gloves and are out of the ring? What do you want people to remember you for?
I want people to remember me for, one, of course, my boxing skills, but I want them to remember that I was myself throughout the whole process, that I kept it real and that I made it easier for women's boxing coming up. You know, I want them to know that women's boxing is where it's at right now today because Clarissa Shields took risks. Clarissa Shields defeated. Clarissa Shields made small demands to Showtime networks about, you know, me just even opening my mouth and saying to Showtime, hey, you guys announced the guys' fight 2 months before. How about y'all announce our fight 2 months before the fight?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just me saying that and me not being afraid of what the answer is or me not being afraid of what I say back is just me. Willing to have an open conversation and to bring things to their attention that may have not been there before.
Right.
And with me making those small demands, women's boxing has came a long way within 2 years.
True. And I'm so glad that's why you're there because you're helping propel the sport forward. And real quick, Clarissa, before I let you go, I like to end the show on a positive fun note. So if we were in your headphones, Clarissa, what will we be hearing on your rotation, on your playlist, on your music playlist?
You will be hearing...
I know I put you on the spot.
Oh, I'm about to tell you, though, because I have a few songs that I'm into right now. You'll be hearing Hold On, I'm Coming by Sam and Dave. You'll be hearing I Apologize by Anita Baker. You'll be hearing All the Smoke by Fresher. You'll be hearing Jackson 5, I want to be Where You Are. And Scared Now by The Game and Meek Mill. And let me think of if I got any more. Oh, and then Glory by Common and John Legend.
Yes, powerful song. I love it. And Clarissa, real quick, are you a Detroit Pistons fan?
Of course. I'm from Flint, Michigan.
I had to make sure. You know, sometimes there's those skeptical people that don't root for the home team. Are you excited? They're trying to hold on to that eighth place in the East in that playoff race.
I didn't even know I'm so deep into boxing, but yes, I'm so excited about that, to hear that. And, you know, everybody tells you to pick a side between Michigan and Michigan State, but I'm a fan of anybody Michigan. I mean, Detroit Lions, Detroit Pistons, Michigan State, Michigan. I'm like a huge fan, and you know, congrats to Michigan State for making it to the top four, even though they didn't, you know.
Yeah. It was still, they played great basketball. They played great basketball.
Yeah.
Clarissa, thank you so much for joining us. We know you're super busy, but we appreciate you taking time out to give us your thoughts on the world. And really quick, give us your social media, and please give the listeners where they can watch the fight this Saturday.
Yep, on social media, my name is Clarissa Shields, C-L-A-R-E-S-S-A. Shields, S-H-I-E-L-D-S. That's on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can watch the fight April 13th, 9:10 p.m. on Showtime. And if you are a fan from the UK, you can watch it on Box Nation TV.
All right, again, we are so glad to have Carissa T-Rex Shields in the building before her highly anticipated bout this weekend. So, Carissa, we again thank you so much for joining us. It's now time for a quick commercial break, and we will stay tuned because we still have a lot of sports talk coming to you right after this commercial break.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the DMV. I am the other Ray J, along with Kelsey Nicole Nelson. All right, let's get right into it. Let's talk NBA standings. You know, the playoffs are right around the corner. Real quick rundown, I'm going to go through the East. We have the Bucks at number one, followed by the Raptors, the Sixers, Celtics, Pacers, Nets, and Magic. They all, 1-7, have clinched the playoff seeding. There may be some juggling around, but they've all clinched a playoff spot. Fighting for that last place in the East, we have the Pistons, who are currently sitting at number eight, followed by the Hornets and the Heat. The Heat and the Hornets are one game behind the Pistons. The Pistons look like the front runners right now. They also own a tiebreaker. So, Kelsey, let's get right into it. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference standings right now. Who do you see making that eighth seed between the Pistons, Hornets, and Heat?
You know, since we had Carissa Shields on the show today, and she's from Michigan, and she's actually a Detroit Pistons fan, I want them to get there. I really do. And honestly, Detroit, it's a tough one. I think that last bye is going to be really close, but I think I'm going to give it to Detroit. I'm going to say Michigan strong, but I think it's going to be a close one, Ray. As we know, that last spot, we have almost a three-team race for that last spot, but I think it'll be interesting. But luckily for the Pistons, their last two games, Ray, come against your Knicks, one of the teams, and then they're playing teams under 500. So with that being said, if they don't get that last spot, then they didn't deserve it.
Yeah, they pretty much do have the easiest path to getting that seed. I kind of want to see Miami Heat win, just because I kind of want to see D-Wade one last round in the playoffs.
Yeah, one last chance.
I don't expect the Heat to do much in the playoffs, but it would be good to see, you know, D-Wade in the playoffs one more time. This would be very interesting. This would be like the first time in forever that we don't have a LeBron James or a D-Wade in the playoffs. So that would be very interesting. It would be good to see new competition. I definitely don't want to see the Hornets get in, because I think it's time for Kemba Walker to move on, and I feel like that will be the final nail in the coffin. If they do not make the playoffs, he's definitely going to walk this offseason. But let's go ahead and move on to the West Coast, the Western Conference.
Wait, real quick. Before we go to the West, I just have to give love to the Brooklyn Nets. You being from New York, I'm surprised you didn't mention anything about them.
They definitely were one of the surprising teams. Even the Magic is, but Brooklyn definitely, because you never expected them to make the playoffs, especially to be a pretty decent seed. They're at the sixth seed right now.
Yeah, the Brooklyn Nets people were talking about. That's crazy.
It looks like a potential lottery team coming into the season. They really didn't have any significant pickups in the offseason, but D'Angelo Russell has definitely blossomed outside of L.A. And even Spencer Dinwiddie, he got that new contract, and he's looking like he might be in the running for most improved. So.
Yeah, now we can go to the West. I just had to give them some love, right? Because we know those past three seasons have been horrific, so for them to get there, props to Brooklyn. Shout out to Brooklyn.
No, that's all good. We can always show love to Brooklyn. Spread love. It's a Brooklyn way, you know.
Are you from Brooklyn, right?
No, I'm not from Brooklyn, but I was just giving a little shout out.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, we got the hometown love, but never mind.
All right, so moving on to the West, of course, we got the Warriors at number one, followed by the Nuggets, the Rockets, the Blazers, the Jazz, the Thunder, Spurs, and Clippers. And these all eight playoff teams have they all clinched their spots a while ago. The Western Conference, pretty much the bottom half of that conference has been pretty subpar, starting with the Lakers and Minnesota. Timberwolves definitely underperformed. And then we had Sacramento Kings give a little spurge, but they kind of died off towards the end of the season. Right now, the West is all about seeding. A lot of early first-round potential matchups. We definitely want to see the Thunder avoid the Warriors or the Rockets in the first round. So, Kelsey, what's your most intriguing matchup you would be looking forward to in the Western Conference first-round playoffs?
You know, I know the Denver Nuggets sit at number one, but I feel like they don't get enough love or credit, right? Like, how many people are talking about the Denver Nuggets? But they have, I think, a full, complete team. Now, I know they don't get the love because they don't have as big of the names, but Jokic and Millsap and Murray, I mean, I really, really like this team right now. Am I saying they're going to win? No, I'm not crazy, right? I mean, you have the Golden State Warriors. But I will say the West this year, and I know you can probably agree to this, I think this has been the most fun that the West has been in a little while. Because, yes, the Warriors are dominant, but we see other teams stepping up to the plate. Then, of course, I mean, I will say this, Ray. I think this year, I think the Warriors are going to win it, but I don't think they'll have as easy of a road to get there.
I'm going to be honest with you. I can see why a lot of people doubt the Nuggets. You got to think, within the last 2 weeks or so, they've gotten blown out by the Rockets and the Warriors by about 30 points apiece. So no one's taking the Nuggets serious. They're also a relatively young team with a lot of new pieces. They haven't really been there before. This is the first time that group has been in the playoffs, and especially to be such a high seed. So if I'm the Thunder sitting at 6 or 7 or potentially 8 right now, I want to position myself to play the Nuggets in the first round, to be honest. That's my easiest matchup. I definitely want to avoid the Warriors. I definitely want to avoid the Rockets. And if possible, if I can get a little higher up, I wouldn't mind playing the Blazers because, you know, they've missed the Nurkic. But to me, the Nuggets...
That's what I was thinking. I would want the Blazers. But I do agree with you, Ray, on that. Of course, the Nuggets are a young, inexperienced team. But I think Michael Malone... I'm not going to say they're going to go far. But I think what they've done this far, they need to get credit for. But I do think, of course, that, yes, they will be knocked out, unfortunately. But so I'm just giving them credit for the season they've had this far.
So let me ask you this question, then. Being that you are praising their season so far, if the Nuggets do happen to lose in the first round, do you still consider this season a success, or is it a disappointment?
That's a great question. I think when we look at the Nuggets' history, right, and I want to talk about relevancy. And the last time the Nuggets have been in a relevant conversation in the West, I would say the season is definitely a success because, again, I think we were just talking about the East and the Brooklyn Nets. I don't think a lot of us thought the Nuggets would do what they've done this season. And, again, they're an underrated team. We're not talking about them enough. And they have this team that kind of come together that no one expected. Like, I would love to see how many people could actually name their full roster. And, of course, I don't think many can. I mean, you know, Gary Harris had, you know, a good night. And you talked about, yes, their last couple of weeks, it's not been good basketball. But I think the Nuggets overall, when they look back at the season under Coach Mike, I think they have a lot to be excited about. But, of course, they also still have a lot to look forward to for next season, a lot of things they will have to work on.
I'm going to be honest. I'm excited for this year's playoffs. I really want to see some of these matchups. And I can't wait till next week when we can actually sit down and break down the matchup once the seeding is finalized. There's a lot of intriguing matchups on both sides. This is probably the strongest that the East has been in a long time. You know, you got 5 strong teams at the top. Even with the Pacers losing Oladipo, they haven't really missed too much of a beat. They've been able to maintain their seeding for the most part. They kind of had a little bit of slippage, but they've still been relatively strong. And then, of course, you said the overachieving Nets have been playing very well. They're going to be a tough matchup. They're not sure if they're necessarily going to win the matchup, but they're definitely going to push a team to their limits. But in the West, that top 4, 5, 6, 7 is a juggernaut because you can't underestimate Popovich in the playoffs. He has the potential to coach the team with that lineup, changes, and just the strategies he can implement. It's going to be a very exciting playoffs. I'm very excited. You know, I'm always disappointed that the Knicks aren't in it, but then also not having LeBron. I can see these playoffs not really being a disappointment without LeBron. I think I can see them being very exciting and being more competitive this way.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, yes, I know season ticket holders and I know fans are not happiest that LeBron's not playing. Of course, like you, I'm not happy the Wizards aren't in the playoffs. But that being said, like you said, I think we have a very, very competitive NBA playoffs. And let's be honest, that's what fans want to see. And we have a lot of great teams. I mean, the Utah Jazz, we talked about underrated teams, another team that doesn't get enough credit. But I feel like we have a lot of great teams right now that, like you said, it's anyone's game, right? And I feel like that's kind of the NBA era that we're living in. And I think it just makes the game more exciting. It makes it more fun. And then I think as we count down to the finals now, we're just all clinching on the edge of our seats because we just truly, you know, we truly just don't know. The game could change in a second. So we're in for a good one, right? Like you said, when the seeding's finalized, then we can really dive and get into it.
Yeah, definitely. Before we close out, I do want to ask you, do you have any predictions for the upcoming playoffs? Like, do you see anything happening that you don't think is going to be expected? My number one prediction is going to be the Nuggets losing in the first round. I feel like the Blazers are going to lose too, but what you got?
You took mine. I was going to say the Blazers, even though, I'm all for these underdog teams winning, but I do think the Blazers, I think we put them on this high pedestal, and I don't know if they're going to be able to live up to the expectations. So I'm sorry, Portland, but right now I'm doing the Charlemagne. I got to give them the donkey of the day, or donkey of the playoffs, I'll call it.
But if you think about it, though, the Blazers always seem to underperform in the playoffs. They lost last year to the Pelicans, and they were
That is true. So Portland might be the only people. Only people in Portland might be putting them past where the rest of us probably know where they'll end up in the playoffs.
Definitely, I agree with that. I think the biggest disappointment would be the Thunder losing out in the first round. That would be heartbreaking, especially with the season that Westbrook is having.
Yes, the triple-double season.
The early season that PG, he was in the running for MVP at one point. He kind of trailed off a little bit shooting, got in a little bit of a shooting slump, but he was having an amazing season. So it would be terrible for them to lose in the first round. So we'll see. Like I said, it's going to be a very interesting playoffs. I'm excited. I can't wait for, you know, playoff basketball is always the greatest basketball time of the year, followed by March Madness. So that's going to be exciting season.
I cannot wait. Well, of course, we did NBA standings. And, of course, Ray, as always, we have to do our Woman Crush Everyday segment where I think it's none other, Ray, than our special guest today, Clarissa Shields. She is just a beast again in the ring and out of the ring. I mean, she's a two-time gold medalist, if that doesn't say enough. And this woman takes her craft seriously, and she represents her hometown so well, of Flint, Michigan. She's also a sexual abuse survivor and speaks out about that and really just wants to be influential. One of the things I love that she's doing is she's trying to inspire more girls to get involved in sports. So basically, this girl is a boss, and I cannot wait to see her prime time fight this Saturday go down on Showtime. Ray, what do you like about Clarissa?
Like you said, she's a survivor. For her to overcome what she's gone through in life and to just prosper in life and become such a successful at what she does, it's amazing. I always found that women boxers were, to me, I feel like they're more courageous than male boxers for something. For some reason, I feel like the women boxers show a different level of strength. Like, it's amazing just to be a boxer in general, but I always look at the women boxers and just say, wow, man.
Yeah, next time, right, we're going to have to go see her in person. She's just so insightful. And again, what she's doing for the sport, and I think the future of women's boxing is in good hands with Clarissa Shields. So thanks again to her team and her for coming on today. All right, as always, Ray, I can't believe the show came to an end, but as they say, all good things come to an end. So this was another good edition of Listen In with KNN. So all of our listeners out there, we appreciate you, and we hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the KNN bandwagon. Of course, be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online each and every Tuesday at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. Of course, if that's not enough, the show is also available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to hit that subscribe button, rate, and review. Your feedback and support truly do matter to each and every one of us here on the show, not just me and Ray, but to everyone behind the scenes. Until later this week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio.